This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our next guest is a 16-year MLB vet, a two-time All-Star. He won a World Series with the Boston Red Sox in 2013, and he is an analyst for the MLB Network, joined right now by Ryan Dempster on CBS Sports Radio. Ryan, appreciate you making time on a Sunday night, man. How are you?
I'm great, Sean. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. It's good to talk to you. Selfishly, I'm going to start right here in my backyard in Houston with you, Ryan, because I'm looking out the window at Houston, Texas. And the Astros are obviously the big story, certainly in the American League so far. From what you've seen of the Astros, Ryan, what part of what they've been doing so far is the most sustainable, and what part is the least sustainable in your mind?
I don't know. Most sustainable is that offense. I mean, I look at the depth of it, top to bottom. When you can sit there and give a George Springer a day off and put in Jake Mareznick, or you can give a Brian McCann a day off and put in Evan Gattis, and or take somebody else out and put in Marwin Gonzalez. When you have that kind of depth, it just speaks volumes to your lineup. And it seems like it never really gives you a breath when you're looking at it. You're like, there's an out. The only out in that maybe occasionally might be the pitcher. So it's pretty impressive what they've been able to put together, the combination of right-handed and left-handed power and a little bit of everything. And then I think the one area of concern is always with any team, I think even the best of teams, is always your bullpen, right? Making sure that you're set up so that come the big situation, because you already have a team that's offensively ready to be at the highest level and could go out there and take your team all the way to the World Series. But you got to be able to make sure you can pitch and control the other team. And so, they're doing a really good job of obviously knowing what they need. And I'm sure if they need to add something, they'll add something. But, man, what a start they're off to. It's a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoy watching them play baseball, man. They are a hoot to watch.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, you just got to settle in for about 3.5 or 4 hours because of the way they've been in the ball lately. They've been a juggernaut. I want to flip the script for a second because the Astros, I think I saw earlier this week, they're the favorite right now for the moment to win the World Series on Bovada or whatever. But number two I thought was interesting on that list is I think the Cubs are right behind them at 5-1, the defending champs. And the season hasn't started the way the Cubs would want it to have started, but I know you're still close to the team there in Chicago. Is there any sort of I don't want to say panic, but what do you think the general mood is right now around the team? Is there any concern about the relatively speaking slow start they've gotten off to?
No, I mean maybe from a fan standpoint, but as far as inside that locker room with those guys on their team, I don't see why there should be. I think the fact that you're right there at 500, the season didn't get off like you wanted to, but people got to remember that they played a month longer than most every other team. So when they take that month off afterwards, you're already a month behind everybody else in what they're trying to accomplish. The minute they're getting that last out and taking their parade down Michigan Avenue and doing all that, the other teams are out there, working hard to try and get to where they're at. And so sometimes there's a little bit of, a time to catch up with yourself and find your identity. You're no longer the 2016 Chicago Cubs. You're the 2017 Cubs, and so you have to find your own identity and get on a roll. The pitchers all threw a lot last year, getting in that groove again, and they're going to be just fine. They're not just World Series champions this past, last year. They got guys on that have won multiple rings and know what it's about being a professional and how to get ready and go out there and compete, and things will start turning around real fast for them.
Ryan, is there something to that? The intuitive conventional wisdom says, well, now they're going to have the target on their back, so they're going to get the best from all these teams and et cetera, et cetera. But it's a 162-game season. But is there something to that? Is there something to, hey, we're going in and we're playing the Cubs this weekend and major league teams, even though it's a 162-game season, this series has a little bit more juice to it. Is there anything to that?
I think sometimes it might have a little more juice to it just because of the attention that's brought with everything they're doing, right? They're always playing in front of a sold-out crowd, whether it's at home or on the road. Cubs fans follow in bunches all over the country, and And of course, it always feels like when you're playing the World Series champ, you want to try and knock them off to know that you, as a team and as a ball club, are to compete at that level. And you know, it is 162 games. There's no awards or trophies handed out this time in the season, and I think that's super important to keep those things in perspective. That what would you much rather do? Be, you know, peter out at the end of the season and say, "Well, we started well." Or do you want to just, you know, have a good steady start and then finish really strong? And as we know and as we see throughout the course of the last however long I can remember, the teams that are playing the best going into the end of the season are the ones that usually end up winning.
Ryan Dempster joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Ryan, I want to circle back to a story from this past week, the whole Bryce Harper, Hunter Strickland dust up from earlier this week. A few aspects of it I want to start with is the genesis of the, you know, the conflict between the two guys dates back to a playoff game in 2014, I want to say, which means Hunter Strickland's been really carrying this thing around with him for a while, if that's indeed why he planted a fastball in Bryce Harper's hip. I'm curious, as a veteran, a 16-year vet, we always hear about the unwritten rules. What's the statute of limitations on being able to carry around any sort of anger over a guy maybe Cadillacing a little bit around the bases after a home run?
Depends on who the person is. Some people get over it in a weekend, and some people carry it around for a couple of years. Yeah, you know, that's a tough one too, right? You're playing in the NL West. He's in the NL East. You're a reliever. You're right-handed, so you're probably not going to face him a lot. And then when you do finally get your chance a few years later, you felt like you wanted redemption. And listen, I'm not here. I don't condone starting beanball wars, but I'm a little bit old school when it comes to feeling like pitching and pitching inside and being able to brush guys back, or, you know, maybe every once in a while one gets away. It's part of pitching. It's part of what's the alternative? Just throw it away again and let him hit another homer. And, you know, I'm not sitting there saying you should throw a guy, because only one time in my entire career did I ever throw at a guy because I was getting hit around, and that was in the Metrodome. The Twins scored 10 runs off me in four innings. It should have been 20 runs, I think, all my outs. And I finally just drilled Doug Minkiewicz. He came up. He didn't do anything wrong. I just hit him. And he just started yelling at me as he's going down first base. He's like, "What the heck, Demp?" And I'm like, "Well, you guys are taking softball swings off me. I got to do something." And he just looked at me and said, "All right." And he went down to first base.
So and that was good enough.
Yeah, every once in a while, you gotta remember, we're trying to make a living as pitchers out there too, and can't get too comfortable. You know, that we revere stories of Bob Gibson and Nolan Ryan and how they didn't let anybody get comfortable, but now all of a sudden, when somebody else does it, it's wrong. And why is it so wrong? Why can't a guy have a little bit of a thought in the back of his mind that, you know, I can't lean out over the plate? If I miss over the middle, go ahead. But if I make my pitch down and away, I want an out for that.
Okay, the other thing that got a lot of attention in that whole melee was Buster Posey kind of hanging back a little bit and just sort of watching the whole thing unfold in front of him. And I think Posey's got enough of an injury history where I think it's a justifiable thing for him to kind of steer clear just because of how important he is to that team. But what were your thoughts on kind of where Buster Posey sort of stayed out of the whole thing, when we see a lot of times catchers are the guy who's trying to tackle the hitter to make sure he doesn't get at his pitcher?
Yeah, you know what? I take Buster's side. I know I'm all for sticking up for my teammates and being out there, but I felt like it was one of those things where he just was like, "All right, big boy, you want to hit him and start something? You go. You can handle yourself." Hunter Strickland's a big, strong dude. He can handle himself just fine out there, and he just made kind of the decision to say, "You go have some fun with that." So, you know, I think Buster Posey is an incredible teammate, one that's there for everybody all the time. And sometimes you make your bed and you got to sleep in it, and that's what happened there. And you know, it's all said and done. It's probably water under the bridge now, and, you know, they just move forward.
Ryan Dempster joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Ryan, I want to ask you about Edinson Volquez's no-hitter yesterday, an emotional one for him. It came, I believe, on what would have been his former teammate, Yordano Ventura's 26th birthday. We know the Jose Fernandez situation when he passed away late last season in the boating accident. Volquez was never a teammate of his, but he's obviously aware of Fernandez's importance to that community. Can you think of a time in your career where you were around something like that, either you yourself or a player was going through something like that, where it's an emotional type of thing and you watching them take their game to another level as they're sort of kind of channeling that emotion? Can you speak to the importance of that?
Yeah, for sure. I just thought that was so incredible. I mean, if you don't believe in some sort of divine intervention, I mean, the fact that he wakes up in the morning and sends out an Instagram post with a picture of him and you're down on a, you know, a happy birthday, I'll miss you, my friend. And next thing you know, you're out there and you're pitching a no-hitter. And that just tells me that there's always people looking out for you. And just because they're not here on earth with us anymore, they were gone too soon, that they're there watching over you. And, you know, it doesn't always have to be something so monumental as a no-hitter or a three-homer game, or maybe just a moment in your career where, you know, you look to somebody up there, you know, a family member that might have passed. And, you know, I've done it before, warming up for a game and just said, hey, you know, to my grandmother, will you look out for me today? Or, you know, I miss you and you're here with me and we need this one. And next thing you know, something special happens. And I've seen it with players who are dealing with family tragedies and they go out there and have incredible games. And you just wonder, you know, how that all happens. And then you feel like it's more than just them. It's the people that they're thinking about that rally them to do some special things. And it's pretty awesome when it happens. And I was super happy for Edison. He's such a great guy. And for a moment like that to happen and can do that moment and then use it to share it and relive and have some great memories of not only one, but two of his great friends. So pretty special stuff.
Yeah, it was a great tribute, and well put, Ryan. Ryan Dempster joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Ryan, I really appreciate that, man. Appreciate you making time on a Sunday evening. Keep up all the great work on the MLB Network. Enjoy donuts with Demp as well. Those videos are very, very funny. You do a great job on there, man. I appreciate you making some time.
Thank you. I appreciate you, Sean. Have a great evening, man. Good. Enjoy your week this week.
Yeah, thank you. You too. Ryan Dempster joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Good stuff. 16-year vet. And a World Series champ with the Boston Red Sox in 2013.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.